welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. I want to thank my last guest, Mr. Party Kalika, for, you know, coming and spending some time with us. Certainly won't be the last time. I'm going to, you know, after break, give you the name of his book. Trust me, I'll make sure I remember to do that. But I want to say good morning to my guest, my next guest, Mr. John Chisholm. He is the District Attorney of the City of Milwaukee. Good morning to you, D.A. Chisholm. How are you?
As well, it's really good to be back with you again.
You know, it's been a long time, and I never will forget, and see if you remember, when I was on a different radio station many years ago now, it seems, and you first came in and became the district attorney of the city of Milwaukee, and I remember a conversation you and I had, and you said and talked about what you were going to do, because you actually replaced an iconic DA that had been there. How many years had he been there?
Mike had served as the Milwaukee County DA for 38 years.
38 years. And I forgot Mike's last name. How could I forget it?
Yep. Mr. McCann.
Mike McCann.
In fact, he hired me in 1994, right out of law school, and I served as an assistant DA for about 12 years, and right around 2006 is when Mike announced he was retiring, and that's when I ran, and that's exactly when I came on your show and had an opportunity to talk to you and to your guests and discuss the challenges that we were facing at the time and where I hope to take the office in the future.
Yes, you've got a great memory, because I also remember saying to you when you came back after having been elected and having the position for a while, I said to you, you are a man who lived up to your word. You said what you were going to do, and you did that. And I never will forget that conversation you and I had. So it's always great to have you on. You know, you're a man of honor, and, you know, you're not in an easy position, but you knew that going in, right?
No, that's exactly right. And you know, thank you for those kind thoughts. But the reality is, it's a privilege. This position offers you the privilege to try to make conditions in the community we live in better, and that's what makes it worth it. Is every day you get to come in and face really tremendous challenges, but you have the freedom to try to make a difference, and I think that's what attracts good people to the job. As frustrating and sometimes as heartbreaking as aspects of the job can be, the flip side of it is you see the very best of humanity as well. So that's what I often will tell people, is that in this job you get to see the best, and yes, sometimes the worst of humanity.
You know, there's, you know, it's easy for people to say, once people should be locked up. And when people commit crimes, I don't think there's any of us who don't believe that there are crimes that people should be locked up for. But let me ask you, there's a limit of space in the society for, you know, for crimes. Some crimes, many crimes are worse than others. There are some crimes that you and your staff have to determine whether or not we can afford to keep certain people locked up for extenuating times. Is that the case? I mean, you can't just lock up everybody and keep them locked up, can you?
That is the case, Earl. And in fact, we had this discussion back in 2006, and the conditions have not changed in terms of the obligation we have to wisely use the resources that are given to us to try to have the biggest impact in the areas that need the biggest impact. Because the reality is this, is that I believe as much as anybody in enforcing the social compact, right? There has to be a consequence when people, violate other people's rights to be safe and secure, hurt them or damage their property, things of that nature. But the reality is that there are limits. You're seeing those limits every single day. And, for example, one of the biggest challenges to the city of Milwaukee right now is how do they actually pay for their police and fire services? And so if you have a realistic understanding and appreciation of how expensive the criminal justice system is, then you also have an obligation to use those resources where they're most needed. And what I've always said is I place my priority on the individuals that are harming other people. You know, these are people that are shooting other people, that are robbing other people, sexually assaulting other people, that are driving recklessly, that are driving intoxicated or impaired, people that are distributing large amounts
illegal substances.
Insanely dangerous drugs that are killing people at record rates. This is where we put our priority. That does not mean that we don't do something about the other problems. And so what I started early on in my administration was what we call our early interventions program, which has sometimes been mischaracterized, right? That's apparently sometimes referred as the soft on crime. What it really is you take the people that are relatively low risk and who are coming into the system again and again because they are drug addicted, they're alcohol dependent, they have mental health issues, they're first-time offenders, and it never applies to a violent offender. And I want to make that clear. I made it clear back then, and it's always been my policy. You know, this does not apply to violent offenses. They get a completely different approach and a different track. But what we're trying to do is give people an opportunity to correct the problem without necessarily spending long times in jail, without spending long times in prison, so that we can reserve those resources for the people that have demonstrated that they can't safely remain in the community, and that they have to be sanctioned and for a period of time, whatever appropriate period of time until that behavior changes. So that's always been the approach, is just to try to address problems like mental health, drug addiction in one way, and address violent offenses and dangerous offenses in another. And so that remains true from 2006 to present.
To say that you and your office is not concerned about crime that's insane.
The numbers certainly don't support it, right? Because, you know, I currently have six prosecutors that prosecute nothing but homicides, and they have like a 95% conviction rate. And yet, having said that, the challenge to the community just on that offense alone is enormous, and that we've in the last 3 years seen the largest increase in interpersonal violence and homicides in the city's history. And the solve rate of those offenses is less than 50% right now. And so that's the challenge to the community. And it's all tied up into, you know, the massive blow that the system took when the pandemic hit, and many of the services that are intended to prevent and intervene and keep these things under control basically got wiped away for a period of time, and it certainly impacted our system. I currently have like 11,000 pending cases, and fortunately, the governor has recognized that. A couple weeks ago, he announced that he was allocating about $15 million to the Milwaukee County court system. This would allow me to hire 15 more prosecutors. You'd get 15 more public defenders. You could potentially open up to 5 more courts. all of that has to be done, because the one thing that we've learned about the last couple of years is that you have to have a functioning criminal justice system. It's never perfect, and I was acknowledging back in 2006 that it's not perfect and that I wanted to improve the way we functioned as a criminal justice system and focused on the important things. So there's always a need to look at what you're doing and try to improve it, but you've got to have one. For those who argue that you don't need a functioning criminal justice system, you can kind of see what happens just in the last couple of years. Things do tend to spin out of control if you can't allocate the right resources to keep it under control.
So on the line is DA John Chisholm. DA Chisholm, you talked about 11,000 cases. The jails are full, okay? I mean, there's no room, but crimes are going on more and more every day. You talked about the murders. That's got to be the number one issue. You know, stolen cars, something else. But the murder rate, you've got to keep locked up. The sheer numbers of people who've been murdering other people, it's smaller crimes. You can't have everybody locked up. So,
Earl, the current number is, the max capacity for the Milwaukee County Jail is 950 individuals at any one time. The current number of people who are being held awaiting a homicide trial is almost 200. So 200 of those 950 beds are currently occupied by people who have been accused of killing other people. And that leaves limited space for other, obviously I'm going to keep somebody that's sexually violent. I'm going to detain them until the opportunity for a trial. People that are, like you said,
Hang on a second. Hold that thought. We've got to go to a break. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation. DA John Chisholm, District Attorney of the City of Milwaukee, is on the line. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.